In this episode, we talk about a man with an unfortunate problem. He has no podcast to listen to, and he's developmentally delayed. Let's talk movies, I guess. Alright, welcome to Let's Talk Movies, I guess. We're gonna talk movies, I guess. So I'm joined with my usual co-host. I think you might recognize him from EnlightenedGamer.com, hopefully, or I mean the Enlightened Gamer podcast. I've got John with me.
Hi.
How's it going, John?
It's not going bad. It's good to be here. Thanks for stopping by my studio.
Sure. Yeah, we did set up a studio space. It's really nice. It's a is this what they call this, a villa when it hangs off of like a beachfront property like this?
Yeah, I think so. It's tricky to get the sounds of the waves edited out of the podcast.
Right, because we refuse to do it indoors.
Absolutely. We figure we've gotten to a certain level of podcasting, and our listeners can deal with it.
Let's be, I guess, a little bit more transparent with our audience. So we've set up in an attic.
It's an attic that's been converted into a loft.
Yeah, so it's not so bad. It's more like a loft, I guess. You're right.
The AC or the HVAC doesn't quite work right. Sometimes it's really hot. Sometimes it's really cold. But there's carpet. The walls are painted. Some furniture.
It feels nice today.
It does. Today's actually a good day. And it's weather's great for podcasting.
It is.
Of course, the weather's always great for podcasting.
Well, we wanted to talk at least a little bit about who we are and why you should care. Maybe you don't. But we're going to talk at least a little bit about ourselves and kind of establish who we are now, so we don't have to do it later, I guess. Well, anyway, my name is Matt, and I was born in April of 87, and I am an avid video gamer.
You're a Pisces, right?
I'm not.
Okay. I had a 1 in 12 chance of getting that right.
1 in 12.
And you just told me your birth month, and I have a 1 in 12 chance.
I did, so obviously you're not.
Actually, I know what July is.
Should have a 1 in 2, but if you're really, well, 1 in maybe 3, based on, because they do dip into other months.
But I have no idea which one's which. I don't even know if I can name all 12 of them, so I might have had a better or worse chance based on that.
I'll take the mystery out of it for you. I'm a Taurus.
Ooh.
What are you?
I'm a Cancer.
Ooh.
We are not compatible.
And hopefully it doesn't prove on the podcast.
Bulls and crabs, man. Ooh.
Bulls with crabs, yes.
I have no idea, but I don't know anything about astrology.
I don't know enough about it.
I don't know if I made that abundantly clear or not, but
my wife does, and she, I think, might be a consistent fixture on this podcast. I'd like for her to be. It's just we've been having some scheduling conflicts recently, but
she, if I recall correctly, I believe she is also a Cancer.
No, actually, she's a Leo.
Oh, Cancer ends on the 22nd, I think.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So she's a Leo.
You barely squeaked into Cancer territory.
I did.
But there's also, I mean, if you really want to get into astrology, and that's not necessarily what this podcast is about, there's a lot of differences between early Cancers and late Cancers, too.
I hate being a late-stage Cancer.
Well, it's not usually good.
I'm not very fun at parties, I'll tell you that.
Late-stage.
People don't want to talk to me.
Stop telling people you're a late-stage Cancer. It's been really awkward because they're like, really? You have such nice hair.
Dude,
and
the
everything.
The perks are wonderful, though.
Yeah. You have... Women do take pity on a man with late stage cancer.
They do. Why do you think I shaved my head for so many years?
You really did, which is confusing to me because you have a really strong hairline.
Yeah, well, eventually the gig was up, the jig was up.
You have a face for podcasting, and I really mean that as a compliment.
How can I possibly take that as a compliment? I mean, it's bad enough if someone says, I have a face for radio.
Because I'm telling you that it's a compliment.
But you're saying I have a face that's good not to be seen, and no one should pay me any money for it.
All right. Well, whatever. Maybe that's enough of a taste for who we are. Is there anything you really wanted to mention to the podcast audience in defense of yourself?
I'm from the East Coast.
You're from New York.
Maryland. I live in Vermont.
I'm native to Fort Wayne, where we now both reside. So
that's true. Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So stay tuned. Later, we'll give you our social security numbers. You can successfully complete stealing our identities.
Please do. Could you transfer me a new one?
That would be nice. We wanted to talk. Today's movie is Forrest Gump. And Forrest Gump is a truly unique picture. I think it's really good. I mean, how many times have you seen Forrest Gump?
Twice? Plus bits and pieces.
But I suppose you weren't probably allowed to watch Forrest Gump growing up.
Oh, God,
up.
No. Actually, you remember that when we were living together, I was on a date, and you had suggested that I watch Forrest Gump with my date, because it was streaming on Netflix, like right when Netflix started streaming. And then I watched Forrest Gump, and then my date just never took off. But at least I got to see a good movie out of it.
That's true. I guess that's maybe part of what my recommendation was. And also...
Well, the reason actually... Let me cut you off there. The reason the date didn't go well is because the girl did that thing that I hate so much, where I said, oh, I've never seen Forrest Gump. Oh, my God. You've never seen Forrest Gump. You have to stop what you're doing right now. You have to watch Forrest... Like, that, I hate that so much with people, and I will make a point not to do whatever they told me to do when they pull that number.
Quit taking your bar exam and drop your pencil right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Get to the nearest TV you can. It's streaming Forrest Gump. Yeah.
I was like, shut up, woman. I'm about to become a lawyer.
But you... Which I'm not. Yeah, you are not presently... You are surrounded by lawyers.
I do. I work. My work brings me around a lot of lawyers.
True.
And a lot of non-lawyers.
That's nice and ambiguous.
We only have one law firm in town, so I don't want people to figure out where I work.
Oh, that, I mean, yeah, true. But you could also, I mean, you're narrowing down for them now.
Well, yeah.
I thought until you said that, I was like, oh, he's a plaintiff or something. I don't know.
And you're my friend, I thought.
Well, I should probably care a little bit more about where you work. But anyway, yeah, so what were we talking? Forrest Gump, right.
Forrest
so you
Gump.
were on terrible dates. Yeah, you were on a bad date, kind of, just
well,
in terms
of... Well, it got
better
because I got to watch a decent movie.
True. And that was maybe half of my recommendation. And I'm trying to... Is this the same girl that you gave her $20 to go get a $12 bottle of wine?
Yeah, I was underage at the time. And for Valentine's Day, I gave her $20 at the grocery store to buy a bottle of wine that cost like $8.
Oh, that's right.
And she bought it. I mean, to her credit, she bought it. But she never handed over the rest of the money.
She thought the $12 was like a gratuity.
Yeah, and on top of that, I bought like another $20 worth of food to bake for her, but whatever.
It was an expensive date to... end in such an unclimactic conclusion.
Literally. But the good news is that I didn't know this, but at the time she was like letting a lot of other guys make food for her and buy her wine. Or she was buying wine for other guys. So
and
it actually worked out pretty well. It never materialized.
Maybe they had a more satisfying end result. But
yeah, well, possibly. But it's interesting. Like,
well, it's not really an attractive quality. In
no, but like, it was nice to be able to kind of draw a parallel between somebody in this movie and her. And
look at that.
Would you like three guesses as to who that may have been?
Lieutenant Dan.
No. Two guesses.
Bubba.
No.
Sally Field's character.
Yes.
She felt very motherly to you?
Oh, wait.
Oh, Jenny's dad.
I believe our host, Matt, here is dancing around the fact that this girl was very much a Jenny-esque.
I'm being a bit facetious.
The drugs, the crazy sex with all kinds of crazy guys, the not being a very good person.
Now, can you substantiate these facts, or is this all slander?
Well, I might incriminate myself.
Well, let's just not get into it. It's not really worth it.
By the way, that was improv. I'm not really a creep.
Oh, no. Not at all. I mean, if you don't trust him, come up to his loft attic thing. He's only got, like, two beds set up here, so...
Only, like, five cameras.
Yeah, no black leather sofa.
This is my guest room / man cave / office / studio.
And we're just joking around. John is a very nice man.
I am.
If you weren't, I'd have nothing to do with him.
It's true.
He's almost as altruistic as Forrest Gump.
I appreciate that, but I hope that's where the similarity stops.
There's certainly some other good qualities that Forrest has. You can't be like, oh, I hope that's all. Well, like he's a heck of a marathon runner.
He's fit, yeah. I was about to say he's a fit guy.
He's a multi-billionaire. Probably.
He's a survivor. He doesn't die easily.
He went to Vietnam. He didn't invest. Lieutenant Dan invested in Apple computers at a very critical time. The line in the movie is, he doesn't have to worry about money anymore. He says, that's good. Just one less thing to worry about.
True. And also living.
there's some parallels too. Well, what we would like to postulate is, what if Forrest Gump was born at around the same time we were? Let's maybe say he was born 1990.
90.
Yeah. So he's...
Let's say... Why not put it in your birth year?
1987?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, sure.
Because I think you could then put it best in... To see it best through your eyes.
Right, it's so...
basically my birth year as well.
I'm trying to think...
say late 87.
Does Sally Field's character ever get a name? I think she's just Mama.
That works.
As best I'm aware. So, the first conversation...
Mrs. Fields?
Miss Fields.
She baked some really good Fields, cookies, yeah. I'll tell you what.
So, I think the first conversation I would have thought might come up in Forrest's life then, it would be the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
And that was 98, I think.
Was right? It?
98 or 99.
Yeah, that sounds... I mean, it was 97 or 98, I think, because... It was
99.
Well, okay, no, you're probably right. It was 98
or
99.
He was being deposed in 99, at least.
Because we got a new president in 2000, right?
Well, not because he was impeached.
No, but... that's what I'm saying. But
yeah, we got a new president.
It was towards the middle of his second term, and I would place it right around 98 or 99, I think. So... yeah, is there anything I'm missing historically significant
prior
to that?
Well, let's see. Yeah, the Persian Gulf War, but he would have been a young child, like 3 or 4.
Yeah, and you don't talk to your 3 and 4 year olds about conflict, desert storms.
The only reason it popped on the radar for me is because my dad was in the Marines, and he actually went to Saudi Arabia. So that has very little impact on me because I don't remember much of it. But I imagine if his dad never went to war, he would have no knowledge.
Well,
of
that's the thing, too. There's a lot of ambiguity in terms of what are Forrest's origins.
You can cut that out, don't worry. We just had a...
There was a cat fight.
A literal cat fight just came cruising through the loft.
I was scared for my life. I tried not to screech too loudly on the podcast or anything. So
we may or may not cut this out. We probably won't.
I probably won't. I don't know.
Anyhow, so...
I had a thought and it kind of escaped me.
Persian Gulf?
Yes. Okay, so Forrest's... The only explanation we're offered about Forrest's father is when the principal asks, is there a Mr. Gump? And not for the reason of him being like, oh, I'm genuinely curious. It's more of a, I have a way that we could get Forrest into school here situation that we were going to talk about. But yeah, so the only line that comes up though is he's on vacation. Or I think that's what she says. He's on vacation, which, I mean, you never see him through the entire movie. So obviously he's gone.
Is that like a cute way of his mother to tell him that he has no father?
Yeah, I think that's a mother trying to deal with what do you tell your autistic child about how his dad ran away or died in a war or for whatever reason is not a part of the picture.
Is he autistic though? Like, do we think he's autistic or is he like somewhere on the spectrum, like maybe Asperger's or...
Well, he's very high functioning, whatever he is. So
maybe you're just borderline autistic?
I think the politically correct term right now is developmentally delayed. So in some way,
what
they call
him in the movie?
I don't know. They don't necessarily address what it is. The only way you know that Forrest has a condition is they're talking about... It's the same scene. They're saying, well, Forrest is underneath a certain line, and this is the line you have to be above to go to school here. And that's the whole situation that leads to asking about Mr. Gump in the first place. Hmm. That scene. Yeah, so, I mean, that kind of actually brings up an interesting point, which is Forrest's education. A few different things there. The first thing that makes me think, obviously that scene makes an allusion to the fact that to get Forrest into the school...
certain favors had to have been...
Correct. There was a...
Performed.
Yes. They engaged in intercourse of more than a few natures.
It's true. And what sounds were made?
You heard it the first time.
No, that's true. That's which maybe, I believe Forrest emulated.
Absolutely, yes. Well,
that was one of the first funny scenes of the movie.
Correct. As the principal is saying, man, your mother sure does love you. That's all he says in response. is that noise, which, I mean, is kind of messed up. And I definitely didn't understand that joke the first time I watched it, because when I first watched this movie, I was probably 10. And so I don't have a lot of understanding of, I was like, I don't get that scene. It's kind of weird. My parents seem to think it's funny, though. But think about that, though. So, firstly, that whole thing takes place because Forrest is not intelligent enough to be put in with the other kids, even though he seems to be pretty high-functioning. And, I don't know, based on today's standards, you might question if he gets by on No Child Left Behind, you know?
Actually, I'm not very familiar with that program, but how would that have impacted him?
Well, basically, it forces the teachers to teach at the rate that the slowest kid is learning, kind of, in a way. So,
wow, that's pretty stupid.
Yeah, it is. So,
thanks, Bush.
Well, at any rate, there are probably defenders of No Child Left Behind who will say that it does different things, and fill out our comment section, please, for this episode. the other thing that makes me think, in the area of Forrest's education, though, is so sex education. It's made apparent in that movie that Sally Fields doesn't really teach him anything, as he seems kind of ill-equipped at any time that becomes an issue for him in the movie to understand what's happening.
Even as an adult?
Yeah, there's at least one scene where Jenny is trying to make a move on him, and he ends up prematurely ejaculating in his shorts, like when she takes her shirt off and kisses him. Like, you don't remember that part of the movie?
You know, I don't.
Yeah, so anyway.
I may have been prematurely ejaculating in my own shorts. Dude, kidding.
It's such an awkward scene. I don't know. It's uncomfortable, but... So, like, that's a thing, and then also, like,
when have you seen a scene involving premature ejaculation that's not awkward and uncomfortable?
Certainly never any of the movies that I've watched with my parents. No, I don't know. I'm trying to think. It is a really uncomfortable thing in movies, but I don't think it's much of a trope either. Well,
actually, it was in The Wolf of Wall Street, and it was kind of funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess I don't remember. Paint the picture for me, because I don't remember.
Leonardo DiCaprio is cheating on his first wife, and he meets that blonde girl that he ends up marrying, and he goes over to her apartment, and he hooks up with her, and like he lasted off 10 seconds.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, did you come? She's like, no. So I guess it was kind of awkward.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's still awkward to a degree, especially, I mean, I don't know. Watching it, like if this were a date movie, I don't know who you take to... I don't know who,
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, for any kind of date, first, second, third, any
special woman, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that movie with my wife.
Oh, same here.
And fiance at the time, I think. But I mean, it's to the point where obviously I knew I was going to be married to her.
It was a bit uncomfortable of a movie to watch at certain points.
Yeah, I always suffer from that, being the guy who. Well, okay, so I'm not ever watching this movie for myself. The thing that really gets me into watching this movie is Leonardo DiCaprio. And
Jonah Hill.
Well, my wife being a fan of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of bound by the contractual obligation that is dating someone to watch this movie with you. But then it ends up being like a lot of female nudity.
Yeah, so I guess that was a latent benefit of you.
Kind of
get dragged into it,
and my wife is very cool. But there is, I mean, it's always awkward for me. Probably more awkward for me than her. Maybe like, oh look, there's another woman's breasticles on the screen there.
Well, yeah, because you have to do the thing where, I mean, you make eye contact with the screen, but then do you like look at something else in the room, or do you like keep glancing back here and there? Do you make eye contact with her? Which that is the worst. Don't try doing that.
Eye contact with her.
Well, like, you look around, and then you lock eyes with her, and she's like, oh, okay.
The thing is, she's watching the movie, so I would have to, like, to make eye contact with her, I would have to, like, get directly in front of her. So
you were actually in a theater?
No. Okay. No. But I'm just saying, like, if she's
fixated, you're both capable of, like, turning your heads, right?
The correct answer to this, though, this quandary, is just watch the movie. Be like, oh, it's a movie, and just be an adult about it, because then she's going to be like, oh, he was an adult about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. At any rate, like, think about that, though. Sex education happens in, like, fifth grade now.
It does.
Yeah, so Forrest would be at least better equipped to deal with situations like that
But it didn't occur at all, really, in that day and age, did it? Like, you would learn from your friends.
Well, I think your parents were supposed to have the conversation with you, like the birds and the bees kind of thing.
It was historically an awkward conversation. And I don't know. I mean, the very fact that they call it the birds and the bees makes you wonder how much actual sex knowledge was transferred.
Right. And
of course, one could argue, what did the parents even know?
And I'm not sure that Forrest grasped on complicated analogies like the birds and the bees. It's probably a strong suit for him. So that conversation, if it ever took place, was probably more than a little bit confusing.
It's probably more like the mommy parts and the daddy parts.
Yeah, I guess. Except he has no dad by which to base that. So, again, you're kind of running yourself into your special part and mommy part. Well, no, let's not do that.
The Forrest parts and the Jenny parts.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no, then he wouldn't have gotten in all that trouble.
I don't know. I don't think Forrest ever put together the fact that Jenny had Jenny parts until she was thrusting them at him. So, I mean, I think that's the idea, though. This character is very innocent. And so for that reason, you really aren't supposed to look into things like that. But
true.
And we're kind of like missing the point of who the character is anyway. So I'm thinking, though, yeah, the whole Bill Clinton thing, they probably just don't talk about it.
They probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Like, in his day, look at JFK. He was worse, probably 10 times worse than Clinton. But right. People just didn't talk about that. Like, not every White House staffer had a Twitter account back then, and there weren't photographers at every corner of the White House. You get away with a lot more. So I think this stuff happened, it just didn't get publicized like it does now.
Oh, yeah, it's always been happening.
I mean, you're king of the world as president of the United States.
I guess that brings up a different social issue that's maybe now a thing and wasn't at that time. And if Forrest is growing up now, or even during the time that I'm growing up, because social networking became a thing when I was going through my teenage years, which was MySpace. I hate to say
Zanga.
Zanga? Zanga? I was never a Zanga person. I don't know what that is.
My journal? Live journal?
I know of Friendster, but I was never a part of Friendster.
That's for like creepy adults.
Okay, well, that's probably why I was never a part of Friendster. My first exposure is MySpace.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so I don't get into anything prior to that, but I'm not starved for social, friends or anything like that. So, yeah, MySpace, everyone had a MySpace account, I think. And there's some some awkwardness with my MySpace profile. You can probably still go out there and find it, which is, I kind of have an innocent Forrest Gump kind of quality about me during this time.
And the way you talk to girls?
Well, in the ways that I'm ignorant to things like sex. And so I end up having a MySpace profile name. Maybe you don't know about this. My MySpace profile name to this date, I think, because I don't think I ever go back to change it. Because, I mean, it's MySpace and I don't care. But my MySpace profile name ends up being Nice Guys Finish.
I remember this. So,
looking back at that now, it seems very hypersexualized and being like, oh, I get it.
Looking back at it now, it's true.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I legitimately, and there's probably no way I can convince anyone of this now, pick that profile name with nothing but the most innocent of intentions.
Well, I feel like that's a similar profile name that Forrest would have picked.
Right, exactly.
But he would have made a lot of awkward mistakes had social media been around during his upbringing.
Well, and that was really what brought me to this point anyway. If social media is a thing now, I'm thinking that Forrest Gump is running into worse things than kids chasing him down in a truck while he's wearing leg braces.
I mean, for God's sake, Jenny could have removed him from her top eight, and that would have been...
That would have crushed him for one thing. I don't know. I'm not here to talk about... Obviously, Facebook is now the most popular social media, but... which, I mean, leads me back to the whole, hey, you're underneath this line thing. And it's like, the things I see on Facebook, I'm like, these people are dumber than Tom Hanks playing the Forrest Gump character in this movie. So, I don't know.
These people are dumber than Pauly Shore playing a Forrest Gump character.
Regardless, I don't, so social media becomes an issue, I think, for Forrest, because of like issues like cyberbullying and how people are not necessarily friendly to anyone who's different now, and can kind of hide behind a message board or anything and kind of like create fake personas and things like that.
In today's day and age, though, it seems like we've kind of done a 180 with cyberbullying, where now we try to vilify children and publicly shame them for cyberbullying and possibly, you know, ruining their future potential. We kind of go the other way with it. But yeah, I think when you and I were growing up...
Right, there's a lot more defense for cyberbullying now. Yeah, but, it used to be... Yeah. Not as much of a problem, but it also, no one saw it as being a problem either.
Or they just brush it off and said, sticks and stones.
That's what being a high schooler is these days and that sort of thing.
So at the time when he would have been in grade school and high school, he would have had a much tougher time than had he been growing up now.
Well, and then from there, he goes to college. And do you remember the part where he goes to college?
I do.
Yeah, he goes to college based on an academic scholarship. And then maybe that's... I'm torn as to where this is in terms of social commentary, because as a student athlete, I think he probably could get away with like not doing well in his classes and maybe still finding a way to pass. That's been an issue in like the last 10 years that has been brought up in terms of like favorable grades.
They give him garbage classes, garbage degrees, and garbage assignments that they get A's on because they're... I mean, in their defense, they're traveling across the country for half of the school year.
Yeah, there's a lot that's unfair to that. And there's actually the 400 Club, I think is what they're called. And it's people who maintain a 4.0 GPA while also being student athletes. Mm. And it's a very elite club. And I think maybe only a couple presidents have belonged to it or anything. And this is just like across academia, I believe. But...
Oof.
Forrest would not have fallen in that category, I don't think.
No.
Regardless of what curriculum they were throwing
at him. Regardless of whether he was playing sports or not.
Right. So,
which I don't think he was he?
Yeah, that's how he gets in. He gets in under... He actually ends up playing for Alabama, the Crimson Tide, which is like historically been, in the last 10 years, say out of that, they've probably been the number one college team.
So this is before or after the war?
This is before.
And did he graduate?
Yes, he does. He graduates.
So did he become an officer in Vietnam, or was he an officer in the military?
No, because I think he gets drafted. So I think because of that, he doesn't have any like OCS.
That's a ripoff.
Right, any... Is it OCS?
Yeah, Officer Candidate School.
Right, exactly. He doesn't have any kind of OCS privilege for anything like that. He's not... I don't think they're going to trust him to be like a helicopter pilot or something.
Well, clearly.
He's got issues time besides... Of peace. Right, exactly. He still has some issues here, John.
Some spatial awareness issues and
more than just spatial awareness issues, I think. And I don't want to be too mean to him. I think that's something that would be to his benefit now, is that we live in a very, as South Park will tell you, we live in a very PC culture now. So I don't think he gets as much. What am I trying to say? What's the word?
Ribbing.
Guff. Yeah, he doesn't take a ribbing like he would have maybe even 10 years ago, but...
The only flack he would take was when he was in the war.
I also don't think, though, that... I mean, Forrest Gump kind of looks into a lot of things, obviously, in that movie. He meets the president more than a few times. I doubt he meets the president now.
No. I don't think it would really be on anyone's agenda to meet with Forrest Gump.
Well, and then we've kind of, like... That's another thing, 9/11. I don't know that it impacts Forrest very much, other than, like, in this country, we've really tightened down the borders and
security.
Right, theater. Exactly. So
we haven't had a draft since Vietnam, but do you think Forrest would have, that kind of character, do you think he would have, would he have volunteered?
Well, it's an interesting question. I probably... Even if he volunteered, would they have taken him? That's a better question.
That's a good point. I think for a while, though, they were taking anyone, for the most part. I mean, obviously, you couldn't be a felon.
You still have... You're given a battery of different tests before you go into the Army, I believe.
battery.
So, which, I mean, I think Forrest commits assault and battery on a couple different people in this movie.
Well, he would have had to take the ASVAB, and he probably would not have done so well on the ASVAB, so he would have been given a very basic job.
So he either would have ended up being infantry like he is in the movie, or he wouldn't have been accepted into the military. I don't think he would have been accepted into the military, quite honestly.
No, and it's possible because it might have been, I mean, they would have looked at his past medical records, and they may have found they would have found a few damning things.
Honestly, though, that's maybe where the movie starts to fall apart, though, because I think going to the military is what sets him up financially to be able to start the Bubba Gump shrimp company.
But didn't he have braces as a kid? Didn't he have trouble walking?
Yeah, he had leg braces also. So he has like
nowadays they look for any reason not to
allow you into the military. Yeah, right.
I feel like having braces as a kid and could disqualify
some you. Type of developmental delay.
Well, yeah, the autism doesn't help.
If that's what it is, yeah, some kind of Asperger's or autism, whatever Forrest Gump has probably keeps him out of the military also in a modern context.
And nowadays they really want to avoid the Bo Bergdahl type situation where somebody goes crazy and does something that adversely affects many others.
So I think this is a really charming movie. No one's going to deny that fact. And you really enjoyed it at the times you've watched it, right?
But I think you're right. It only works in that time period that it was set.
Right. I mean, you have a lot of problems.
Well, it could have been set in an earlier time period, too. That'd be an interesting discussion as well. What if it was World War II? What if it was World War I? Or, the Mexican... What's that, Mexican War?
Let's focus on a little bit the things we know about the movie, I guess. So Jenny, I would hope, in a modern context, would have been picked up by CPS and separated from her father. Though it's hard to say, because, I mean, I've seen issues with CPS where you watch a situation that you think should be intervened with, and it doesn't...
They don't even do the investigation properly.
Right. It becomes an issue. So, I mean, that's hard to say. They're still a governmental organization. They still have their own hands tied by red tape and things. So.
But with that said, and with them being a crappy bureaucratic organization, is still miles ahead of where they were back
right.
in the 50s.
And
where
I
don't even know if they existed.
I think had an investigation been conducted, Jenny probably ends up getting taken away, separated from her father, which probably detaches her from Forrest completely, meaning in our timeline, Forrest doesn't have Jenny, doesn't get to go to the military.
And think, I mean, at the time, they didn't have the psychotherapy they have now, they didn't have the medication they have now, and they probably would have just, you know, put two electrodes on either side of her head and zapped her or something.
So where do you think Forrest ends up in a modern context? I have an idea of where I would place Forrest in terms of...
Honestly?
Yeah.
Stock boy at Goodwill?
I was thinking, similarly, yeah, pushing carts at Walmart.
Or Kroger during the day shift.
Something. Yeah, exactly. So one of a number of retail settings where he can do a job that about anyone can do and maybe scrape by. But I see him maybe like living in Section 8 housing or
yeah, probably YMCA. On some food stamps, some sort of government assistance.
So what about the scene, though, where Jenny is playing the guitar and she's naked? Ooh. And then Forrest comes in like a man and rips her off the stage and saves her from that life and that sort of thing. How is that different in a modern context?
Well, he would have been booed off stage, first of all, and she would have said, I have every right to do this. I'm a woman. I can, you don't have to protect me. You don't have to be a white knight. I can make this decision for myself. Like, I feel like that wouldn't be... I think even the time when Forrest Gump was filmed, that was seen as an acceptable thing for him to do. But nowadays, I just don't think that that's...
No, yeah, especially... Well, okay, so it being a period piece, yes, this movie's made in the 90s. I think it's like made in...
95, maybe?
94, I thought. But it's made right around that time.
Yeah.
And yeah, even in that year, you probably still have people in the movie theaters like, yeah, good job, and applauding him.
So good white knighthood
there. Stage and everything. But today, in a modern context, you would have a lot of people to fight with being like, she's empowered to do this sort of thing. It's art. Jeez.
And, I mean, honestly, look at Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter. Miley Cyrus.
Right.
Like, she's basically doing what Jenny did, and people,
yeah, she's
like, adore her.
Like, willingly degrading herself.
Yeah, and, I mean, say what you want, she's not reviled, by her culture. I mean, a lot of people dislike her, but she's not, like,
so
shunned.
Right, so imagine a scenario where Forrest Gump is Robin Thicke, and he's like, you can't do this, Marley. I won't let you dance like this.
Please do not grind against my daddy parts.
Certainly the next day, all of, like, the media, the TMZ is like, Robin Thicke is oppressing Miley Cyrus.
And yeah. White Knight dumb gone too far?
Right. So.
Yeah. Women have every right to choose what they do with their bodies in today's society, and I feel like he would have not had a favorable outcome for doing what he did and, quote-unquote, rescuing her from that life.
Right. Which, I mean, again, just, I think, speaks to the period of either the 70s, which I think is supposed to be what is being portrayed at this point, or like the late 60s.
Yeah.
Or,
but I think we're getting to the point where we probably can't even like make films that portray that type of behavior as good. It's kind of like Blazing Saddles. Like, even if you're making fun of that type of behavior, or it gets to a certain point where in their culture where you can't even make art that reflects that sort of thing.
I was having a discussion with someone, and it was kind of to the effect of Citizen Kane is touted as being the greatest movie of all time, but there's going to be a time in the not too distant future where they're like, what is this? Haha, let's run an MS3 TK, like Riff Tracks kind of thing over Citizen Kane, because people just don't understand what it was.
The Room was better.
Yeah, or I mean, like, this is just any other crappy old black and white movie, and I don't know, I think it's different than that, certainly. I've never seen Citizen Kane, which, like, most people are going to be like, well, then why do you have a movie podcast? yeah, like, that movie maybe holds up, but not for much longer before people are like, whatever, Star Wars Episode 7 was way better.
Attack of the Clones was way better.
Attack of the Clones. I hope it's a long time before anyone's like, Attack of the Clones is way better
than anything.
Than The Phantom Menace, you could say true. That.
You can at least say it was better than that.
Right. Well, I'm trying to think of anything else.
But that's a good point. Like, at a certain point, people... Forrest Gump is going to be so dated that it's going to be painful for people to even watch.
I think it's going to become unrelatable at a certain point. Yeah. We're certainly not to that point yet.
Because whether you've lived through the time period that he's been alive in the movie, or if you, like, your parents or your grandparents have lived through that, you have some connection with what Forrest went through and who he is. But after a certain point, as millennials start having kids or having more kids, people are not going to connect at all. And they're not going to understand what the 60s were like. And they're just going to think it's some weird, like, alternate universe.
So many people are looking at movies too under the whole, like, realism goggles of, they're like, well, this isn't realistic, or this would never actually happen. And you would have a very easy argument to say that, yeah, Forrest Gump would never happen. Like, a kid in that situation probably doesn't become a multi-billionaire, probably doesn't end up meeting the president 3 times, probably doesn't stop the whole Watergate scandal.
Oh, he does stop Watergate?
Well, okay, so there's the scene in the movie where he's staying at the Watergate Hotel because he meets President Nixon, right? And so he's like, oh, I know of a great hotel, you can stay at the Watergate. And then he's like, I don't mean to be a bother, but there's some lights on in a room across the whatever, and it's keeping me awake. So he turns in the people who are perpetrating the Watergate thefts.
And Nixon gets off scot-free?
Doesn't he resign?
Well, yeah, in real life he did.
Right, he resigns. But, well, no. So in the movie, he's the one who catches them, and that's the reason. The same series of events happen. Right. That's a different...
Different series of events with the same outcome.
Correct. Yeah, okay. So it's saying that Forrest was the reason that they found that he was doing that in the first place.
So that was a very safe alternative history.
Correct.
For Spielberg to have?
Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, yeah, same thing.
The Back to the Future guy.
Oh, really?
Yep.
For some reason, I thought it was Spielberg.
Yeah, originally it was supposed to be Michael J. Fox. That's not true, but I feel like if I say it with enough confidence, people will probably add it to the Wikipedia
page. It's going to be the original Marty McFly.
Oh, Forrest was, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Tom Hanks.
What was his name?
Tom Hanks?
No, the original guy who played.
Oh, Eric.
The method actor
Eric wannabe. Stoltz. Yeah. So But he was like, no, call me Marty. Yeah, you don't bring a method actor in to do a comedy.
I mean, if your method acting is so bad that Daniel Day-Lewis face palms, then you should probably reevaluate your technique.
Well, I think that would be... No, I'd be... Daniel Day-Lewis would definitely face palm my method acting. Right?
I mean, that's the exact same thing that Daniel Day-Lewis would do, but he's actually a good actor as well.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's a bad cast. I don't think Eric Stoltz is a bad actor, but you don't hire a method actor to be like, you're playing this time traveler who's trying to, Eric Stoltz literally didn't understand that the movie was a comedy. That was the problem.
I mean, certain roles you would want a method actor, like Morpheus from The Matrix, or even Neo in The Matrix, which neither of them were method actors. The Lawrence, whatever his name is, Fishburne and Keanu Reeves. But I mean, those are types of roles, though, where you could hire a method actor. But when you have a comedy or a goofy character like Marty McFly, you wouldn't want a method actor.
It's way better in drama than comedy, certainly.
Not Marty McFly. What's the doctor's name?
Dr. Emmett Brown?
Yeah.
Doc Brown?
Yeah, Doc Brown. It was a bad fit.
Yeah, exactly. So, trying to think what other events take place in Forrest Gump that we should really be talking about. I'm sure someone who's listening to this is probably raging at us right now saying, this part is so obvious.
Vietnam.
Okay.
So he got drafted and he went and served, and he was pretty well liked, wasn't he? By his fellow soldiers?
I think by the officers he was, particularly his drill sergeant was like, Gump, why are you in this arm? Or why did you put your rifle together so fast? Something like that. And he goes, because you told me to, drill sergeant. And he's like, that's the best answer I've ever heard. You've got to have a goddamn IQ of 185 or something like that, which is a really funny thing to say about that character in that movie. Because he doesn't. I think his IQ is based on, 80 or 75 or something.
That's not terrible.
I mean, but yeah, it's not above that line either.
So then, Lieutenant Dan, did he get along with him at the time? He rescued him. He pulled him out of the firefight, right?
Yes. So Lieutenant Dan is his CO, and that's what really makes Lieutenant Dan mad at him, though.
Oh, because Lieutenant Dan wanted to die.
Correct, because you go through that whole thing of
the survivor's guilt, basically, right?
Yes. I think that's the idea, but because of his family's lineage of, every single, member of my family has died in a war. Like, every generation has had someone die in a war. So Lieutenant
I'd be more Dan, than happy to break that cycle, but...
But that's... Lieutenant Dan is out there to do that.
Prerogative, I guess.
Right. So,
again, mental illness. Okay.
Well, that's one thing I think that carries over. We talked about this slightly. That's something that does carry over, is that movie kind of demonstrates with Lieutenant Dan that we don't take very good care of our veterans home.
Back then and even now. I mean, I know it's on the forefront of everyone's mind now, but then, I mean, not only were they reviled when they came back and pelted with eggs and called baby killer, but then as they, their bodies broke down, their minds broke down, they didn't get the care that they deserved either.
Right. Well, Lieutenant Dan...
And the worst
Dan,
thing is they didn't even choose what they had to do. They were drafted.
Lieutenant Dan could certainly benefit probably from psychological evaluation after having coming back from his service.
Prosthetic legs as well.
Which he does get at the end of the movie, true, to be fair. But that's
carbon
that's
fiber
to
prosthetic
be,
legs.
And that's supposed to be probably 20 years later. And that's not because the government probably provides him with any...
No, I'm sure Forrest bought him for him.
No, I mean, Lieutenant Dan made a lot of money through the bubblegum shrimp company, too.
Well, that's true.
He probably doesn't need Forrest's money to do that.
No, I mean, Forrest saved his life. What more does he want?
I think something that maintains probably some truth in the Forrest Gump movie... So he starts running at some point, or he goes running all the way across the country, and all these people join him. And start running behind him and just saying what's going on. I think you would have a similar response in social media, but I don't think you would have as many people actively going out there and being like, I'm gonna jog with you and we're all gonna run together.
I don't think so either. And I don't really know if at the time, maybe since the time was 70s, the wild 70s, people would have been more likely to do that.
Well, I don't know.
The hippie movement and whatnot.
I feel like people love being armchair politicians too. Like everyone on Facebook has their opinions, and it's you can be a political activist by clicking like or share on a status on Facebook.
Well, yeah.
And so it's so much easier and lazier trying to get your point across than having to run across the country and that sort of thing. You can get a lot of press by doing something stupid as opposed to something admirable.
True. And I mean, there's not a lot of glory to be had running across the country before social media. I mean, there was no recognition to be had. It was just something that he decided to do.
That's actually based on real events. I think that's, again, them trying to explain something socially that happened, but it wasn't Forrest. There was someone else who ran all the way across the country.
Oh, Canada. But he died. I think it was to raise awareness for... Oh, gosh. I think his name was something Fox.
Well, this is back in, like, the 80s and 90s, yeah. Though.
And okay. He had, I think it was for cancer awareness.
Could have been.
And he actually passed away... But it was a man who decided to run across Canada.
I wonder if this was... I mean, this had to have been after he had died, maybe. I wonder if this is like an homage to that person or like in honor of or...
It's possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say necessarily you can draw that correlation directly either, even if the timeline does match up. But yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I'm trying to think... what was the other one? Oh, so yeah, Lieutenant Dan... And Forrest make a lot of money because Lieutenant Dan invests in Apple computers, right?
Exactly.
So what about a modern context? What do you think happens to all that money? And I have an idea, and I wonder if yours is different than mine.
So wait, when he makes all the money investing in Apple?
He would do with all the money he made from the Bubba Gump company.
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many great ways to throw your money away. Like, if this was the mid-90s, he could have thrown it away in penny stocks, like... We saw in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Right. That would have been a great option.
Or nowadays.
A great way to lose all your money, rather.
I don't know. Maybe he would have bought up. I think you're going to say he's maybe getting some crowdfunding.
I would think, yeah, Lieutenant Dan probably ventures in some unwise, yes, crowdfunding projects like the Jesus Christ. Are you familiar with this one at all?
No.
So for a certain amount of money, you can... donate to this Kickstarter for like $500 or more, you would be guaranteed to be given one. But it's like a kind of like a waffle iron, but it's like a grill that has an imprint of Jesus Christ's face on it.
Really?
So you can create a cheese, like, or I was almost going to say cheese toasty,
Jesus,
and that's
or Jesus Christ.
So totally not me. Grilled cheese with a picture of Jesus on it or whatever. I mean, obviously poking fun at all the people who are like, the Virgin Mary's in this pancake or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so there's a lot of dumb Kickstarters out there.
Oh, there really are. There's actually a great subreddit called Our Shitty Kickstarters.
Oh, yeah.
And it usually is a collection of Kickstarters where people just want, like, $1,000 to build a computer or they make impossible stretch goals.
Yeah, there's just...
products.
There's so many ways to not... intelligently spend your money these days. So
absolutely.
I wonder if Lieutenant Dan maybe spends the money on something that doesn't end up having any type of return.
Maybe he wires it all to Nigeria.
Could be. In any case, I don't think Forrest ends up, you know, towards the end of his life or not even really towards the end of his life, but I would say probably by the time he's 30 something, having more than a few million dollars back in 1970s dollars or whatever it is. No, I guess if Apple's starting, that's like the 80s or 90s.
I mean, I know I'm kind of jaded, but I feel like there aren't as many sure things now as there were back then if you had money to invest. I think now it's a little more difficult unless you're super wealthy.
Well, it's so hard to start up something new when there's so many things that are established. It's both easy and difficult. Let's say this, because you and I are both investing in this podcast to a certain amount. It's not turned around to the point we're making any money off of it. It hasn't cost either of us so much that we're risking being in the poorhouse over it either.
You know what I noticed about today's day and age? It seems like everybody wants to get their beak wet more than ever before. And, I mean, everything you do, like, somebody wants to collect money. And it's harder to conduct business, to have an idea, and to run with it than ever, despite having more opportunity than ever to make a product become successful.
There's a big war being waged between opportunity and greed.
Yes.
So both cultures are very big right now. So it's
there's a lot of greed.
But I don't know. I guess like America is still the land of opportunity for the time being until we see who gets elected in the next, for the next presidential election. Sure. I don't know. I'm not going to make this into a political podcast. I certainly don't want to. But, yeah, I don't know.
Primarily because you're not a political person.
I'm not at all. I don't like speaking ignorantly about things that I obviously have no knowledge of.
And if you did have knowledge, I feel like you wouldn't want to talk about them anyway.
And I probably wouldn't be ignorant. So, based on the way that word works. I think that's probably going to do it for Forrest Gump, in my opinion. I don't remember anything that I'm... I don't remember what I'm forgetting, if that makes any sense.
I don't think... I'm pretty sure we covered it all. At the very end, he became wealthy and ran, and that was it. And he raised his kid, right?
He has his kid, yeah. And yeah. I'm like, I don't know. I was trying to have you look into, they let you keep your kid if you're the sole parent?
And I think they do. I mean, we have people that have Down syndrome that have kids. And I know they're a bit supervised, but they're still allowed to.
Forrest might have to prove his ability to raise a kid. And he would do fine with that. So
it's one of those things. You're innocent until proven guilty. Like, as long as you do a good job and don't show up on the radar of any CPS agents, you're fine.
Well, and you definitely don't have to be developmentally delayed to be a bad parent either. Like, there's more than enough cases of that. You just look in the newspaper.
Oh, absolutely.
Depressingly, there's a lot of cases of negligent parents. So.
Very intelligent parents that are being negligent.
Man, this podcast just took a really funny turn. Anyway, that's also probably where we're going to go ahead and leave you for this episode, I think.
I think so as well. Be sure to leave a comment if you disagree with us wholeheartedly, or if you had an idea of like a fan theory or an idea of an alternate universe where Forrest Gump does something completely different than what we had described.
Or if I'm glancing over a really big part of this 3-hour movie that I haven't watched in probably a year or so.
50-minute podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So... All right, hey, thanks for joining us. It's been Let's Talk Movies, I guess, with myself and John.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next episode.